Amen. We are dreaming big. We're asking God, show us what it is you want to do in our community, in this believer's body where we're experiencing the love and grace of Jesus, and how can we overflow into our community? Today, we're dreaming about being a place of healing and life that people are drawn to, that in this fellowship of believers, we're made whole. And that God's going to bring more and more people who are broken, who are lonely, who desperately need a beautiful experience, a beautiful presence that God has given us of his presence in our lives in this community. Before we get into this message, though, I want to just recap a little bit of what took place last week. And part of the reason I'm recapping this is because I forgot to show one of the videos that our youth worked so hard to prepare. Last week was Super Bowl Sunday. Yes, I'm a Chiefs fan. It was a terrible day for me, and we won't go there, but it was a great day for the Eagles. I also really do like the Eagles. But the title of the sermon was Catch the Pass and Run. And I'd like us just to see the first video that the youth prepared last week.
You up a bit and slant to the right and pitch for the pass.
All right.
Ready?
Break. All right.
What a cool ball.
So it's a real obvious message there. If you don't run with the ball, you're going to get taken out. We can't just catch what God has for us and go, hey, cool. Yeah, this is really nice. A good call. We've got to take God's call, put it into action. Let's see the next video.
All right, guys.
This is the one I forgot to show.
You got to protect him and make sure you run this time.
All right.
Ready? Break.
Ready, set, hike.
We have some, our youth are just terrific. There's so much enthusiasm. It's really great to be with them. And we saw the video there where, shoot, I wrote down their names last week. I can't remember right now. Our young guy ran out the doors of our church. He caught the pass, the calling of God, and took it outside and would have kept running. If it had been daylight, we would have gone into Mount Joy and seen him running through the streets and then run to the middle and spike that ball. That's our call. We can't keep the great things that God has given us here. We need to go and take that calling out to the streets. So today, we're talking about a healing community, fulfilling the words that we see in this Philippian passage that says, don't look to your own interests, but to the interests of others. It's this being united with Christ, having the same spirit, tenderness and compassion, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. What do you see when you look around you? What do you see when you go to work, when you're out in the community, however it is, if you're doing sports, if you're interacting with others, if you're with friends, what types of things do you see going on around us in society? You know, we know that in the past 10 to 15 years, we've seen enormous change, really an upheaval. Things have changed so dramatically with the onset of internet, social media, and all these things. And one result that is clearly seen then because of this is more and more isolation. We're more and more tempted to stay at home with our device, with our television, and we're having less and less interaction with others. Our Surgeon General, who just left his post in January, felt the need to write a letter to our nation. His name was Dr. Vivek Murthy. And he says, more and more, people are telling me that they feel isolated, invisible, and insignificant. He felt like he needed to highlight this then more than any other illness or danger physically or with sickness or anything else. The biggest danger in our society is isolation and loneliness. He also went on to say that even before the pandemic, one in two adults in America reported experiencing loneliness. For us then, this is a message to catch that pass and get into action. Let's break these patterns of isolation and loneliness in our own lives. Let's increase our fellowship in our body here. Let's look for ways to connect and build relationship and be strong with one another. And then let's look for the ways that we can bring that and include many other people around us who are lonely, who are isolated, who are broken, who are desperate for help, people that are crying out saying, where is hope for me? There is hope. Our theme verse for this year, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a message for us as a church. It's also a message for our community, and it's a message for the nations of the world where God wants to bring healing and life. And he's entrusted this mission to us. We're the ones who take this hope and present it to others. We're the ones who give the herald the news. There is hope. And God wants to teach us, and I'm in this learning process, learning, God, how can I display this hope in this world? What are the ways? It isn't just preaching and teaching. How are the ways through a touch, through a hug, through a conversation, through a glance, through a smile, through interactions? How can I share this hope, this love, and the healing power of Jesus with others? Just yesterday, I was meeting with a young man, and he said to me, no one has ever told me that I have potential. No one has ever told me that they see good in me. No one's ever told me that I have something special to offer. It's heartbreaking to hear that from someone. People need this love. They need these words of encouragement. They need someone who will come alongside them and love them. So I've been a part of this fellowship now for 6 weeks. I see the beauty of this fellowship. The love and care that my wife and I have already experienced is incredible. There's an expectancy in this fellowship, a longing to see God move in greater ways, and God is doing something wonderful among us. Amen? 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 Amen. What we have here, and I'm so grateful that I get to be a part of it, what we have here needs to be shared far and wide. So we want to continue. God's already been doing a wonderful work. It's not like we're starting from the zero point. There's lots of, I'm saying, wonderful things that have been happening for many generations. And we want to continue to grow as a healing community. We want to be ready to receive people who are lonely, broken, and in need of the healing power of Jesus. Now let's go out and find them. God, show me who it is around me that needs your loving touch. Let's be enough bold, but with carefully so we don't scare them away, but look for a way to enter into their lives and just start loving others. And waiting for the moment when Jesus is going to show up in that relationship. As we pray for them and as we walk with them, it's been my experience, Jesus always shows up. He will make himself known. We need to start by growing more and more in our love for each other. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, he says, "This is my prayer that your love may abound more and more." Is that something we want? And is that something that we're willing to do? Because it's a little scary. To really start loving each other, it requires that we be vulnerable. It requires that we take a risk by inviting someone to a cup of coffee, reaching out beyond a casual conversation, asking a deeper question, looking for a way to go deeper in our relationships, to love each other, that our love for each other would abound. I don't pretend to really know what that's like. Isn't it fun to think about? We want our love for each other to abound more and more. You know, Jesus said these words, to whom much is given, much is required. What does God require of us in this community and in this world? God has given a lot to this community, this fellowship of believers. And we're ready. We have everything that we need. Let's be responsible. Let's share that gift far and wide. That let God's healing power flow through us and into the lives of hurting and broken people who desperately need him to see others healed. We need, first of all, to be healed. Now, this message is getting a little deeper than what I had anticipated. Earlier this week, I was praying and saying, God, where are we going to go with this? Yes, we know we want to be a healing community, but what's the essence of this message? And it was interesting. I received an email from Gretchen Montaigne, who's going to share a little bit later. And in this, started talking about the tough times, when God breaks us, when he molds us. Today, we need to realize we need to be healed. Every one of us here today, there's areas in our lives that God wants to touch, and he wants to be healed. He wants to heal us. We cannot bring healing life to others unless we're willing to be vulnerable and go into those difficult places and let God heal us. David in the Psalms over and over again recognized his need for healing. He didn't hide it and keep it secret, but he cried out. Psalm 6, verse 2 says, "Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony." Can we open up and share when, hey, I am in agony. I'm hurting. I need prayer. I need help. Malachi 4:2 gives us this promise. "But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves." Now, I love this verse because, and by the way, Gretchen, why don't you come up a little closer? Be ready. You're going to come in a minute. When I was young, I lived on a farm, and sometimes, like in the spring, we kept our calves here in a shed, and we'd feed them, and afterwards, we'd open the pen and let them out, and they would kick up their heels high into the air. It was amazing to see. They frolicked, and there was joy, and it was amazing to see when they were set free how they kicked up their heels high into the air. This is God's promise of healing for us. We need healing, but we need to acknowledge our own brokenness and experience the wonder and glory of God's healing power that then enables his healing power to flow through us to other broken people. Gretchen, would you come and share what God has put on your heart?
Hi there. So I'm just going to share with you a little part of our story, but I've been researching flowers and trees this past year and fall, and began ordering seeds and planting some trees in hopes of a beautiful garden to enjoy this coming spring and summer. I haven't had the greatest success in trying to grow certain flowers the last year. We lost so many to pests, the rabbits that are running all around, our beasts, which are our puppies who keep toppling over the little seedlings, and incorrect preparation of both the soil and the seed. I've since learned that certain seeds need to be soaked in water to soften the exterior shell for a period of time. Others need to be chilled, and others require their outer shells to be nicked, scraped, or even pierced before being planted in the ground. But the seed itself is already encoded. God has already built within every seed the potential to produce life, his perfect design, his perfect plan. The researching and planting and planting of the seeds and trees this fall and winter wasn't by accident. It's been an intentional exercise of faith for me. It was a reminder to me of God's promises to us and the power of life embodied in a single seed. And it was a testament of his never-ending faithfulness. Mark and I certainly needed to be reminded of that fact, because last fall there was a series of events that occurred which began to shake our world. But in the interest of time, you only get to see a very small part of that story. I'll begin with the death of my grandpa, Joe Hess, a devoted follower of Jesus. Shortly after his passing, my husband's brother passed away unexpectedly. and my daughter was involved in an accident which shattered her elbow, requiring major reconstructive surgery. The storms didn't seem to end, and I remember asking God in the middle of this, God, please calm the waters, say peace, be still. What we were going through was pushing us to the limit, and we were feeling the heat. But at the same time, we saw God's daily grace, his unfailing love, and we knew that our faith was being tested. And we were praying that we would not fail, that it would not fail. We felt the heat rising even into the new year with illness and situations that left us crying out for God's wisdom and his perspective. One night, we felt like there was a line drawn in the sand. The question was loud and clear. Would we choose to remain on the safe, well-lit path, or would we choose to follow him into the unknown and fully trust in his guidance, his protection, his leadership, even if it meant that he was drawing us closer to the fire and even asking us to step into it. In that moment, we felt truly humbled, broken, and empty, yet neither of us wanted to give up. We just couldn't see the path ahead, and we certainly could not walk into the fire unless he was there with us. So in that moment, we asked God to forgive us for our unbelief, our pride, our arrogance, and selfishness. And we surrendered to his will and asked him to show us the way. It was then that he began to remind us gently to fix our gaze on him and away from the circumstances surrounding us. He reminded us to tune our ears to his voice, to trust in the power of his word, which had the power to light the path ahead, and it did. He reminded us that he would go before us and lead us each step of the way. He would be our shield, our defender. We just needed to start with a contrite and repentant heart. He would, as he always has been with us in the storms and in the fire. So we took his hand, crossed the line, began to walk forward into the unknown. Looking back into the moment, we could feel the heat, the piercing of that particular seed of faith in our hearts. It was a surrendering of our lives and laying them before him that was our part of the equation. We trusted him for the greater miracle of producing life and protecting us in the middle of the fire. And he has promised to stand with us in that fire. Isaiah 58:8 was the verse that was given to us the next morning, and it says, "Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and then your healing will come speedily. Your righteousness will go before you, and the Lord shall be your rear guard." In studying this verse in the days to follow, I began studying the chapters and the verses that came before it, because it starts with the word then, so there must be something before it. And there is so much more, including guidelines and instructions that we should follow if we want to see life and healing. I would challenge you in the coming days and weeks to read Isaiah chapter 52 and 58. It's too much to read right now, so I'm not going to do that for you. And in the past week, I woke up early on Wednesday morning and could not go back to sleep. 2 Chronicles 7:14 had come to mind. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. In reading that verse again, I realized that was the chapter on the dedication of the temple. This intrigued me, as we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, a place for God's presence to dwell. And looking at this verse, it also says, has the if-then clause. So I went back to the chapter before it to get the full context of what was being said. I read 2 Chronicles 6:12-7:14, another reading challenge for you. But it's God's promise to Solomon in chapter 7:14, which I just read, came after Solomon stood before the altar in the presence of the assembly. Then he knelt on his knees, spread out his hands toward heaven, and prayed. So here we have the surrender before God again, and with a humble heart. Then Solomon presented God with a request. He was asking for God to show mercy to a people that he knew would continue to make mistakes, continue to forget God, and choose for a time not to walk in his ways. He was asking God to forgive them and draw them back into his fold if they would repent with contrite hearts and turn from their ways back to him. As God had proved that he has been willing to show mercy with so many others, even before Solomon's generation, he gave Solomon his word. We know that God is continuing to teach us to surrender to him and to quickly repent of our sins. I've been made more aware of the sin in my own life since we decided to cross that line. The heat of the refining fire can be rather intense at times, and I'm appalled at the things that I've seen coming to the surface, even in my own heart. I daily find that I need his repentance. And Pastor Tim taught us last week from Hebrews 12:1, I can so easily get caught up in the sin that so easily entangles. Several weeks ago, Pastor Josh gave a call to come forward to surrender to the Lord, to allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. In our reflections about the call to surrender, one of our sisters here in this church made this observation. The decision to come forward and respond to that call will be confronted by the enemies of our souls. She continued, I'm not sure if we're all been trained or equipped to be aware of that fact and to look beyond the surface of conflicts or feelings that any one of us may be having to see that what might be instigating things underneath. John the Baptist said that one will come after him who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We all want the Holy Spirit in power and comfort, but it comes with fire. Dwelling on our thoughts, I am not sure that I was prepared for the intense heat that has been required in this refining process. The pressure and pain felt in the process of chiseling or stripping away the sin, old habits, and hang-ups. This is the refining and purifying process using ancient tools, ancient ways. It is unlike any training or equipping that we've ever known. Yet I've heard several stories recently within this church, my own family, and other churches of lives that have been willing to be submitted to that work and have begun to see God begin the transformation process in them and are daily being renewed. He said this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your ways, and my ways higher than your thoughts. James 1, 2-4 says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We were reminded yesterday that it is still winter. It's cold, it's snowy, and we can't always see the sun behind the clouds. But we know that it is there, and we have the promise of new life that spring will come. He has made the sun to rise every morning. He has given us each single day and each season to remind us of his ways, which are different than ours. Even now, even though we can't see it, there's a deeper work being done under the snow, under the surface, and soon we'll see those sprouts spring forth. And a life that is produced in the planting of a single seed, the pruning of old wood, the strength produced in the refining process, the laying down of our lives and surrender to him produces a life far beyond anything we could ever imagine. It has depth, character, richness, and beauty so that the world around us can see his handiwork in our lives and be drawn into that life, which is unlike any other.
Question. So it's clear to me, and I've not been a member of this church for very long, as I stated earlier, but it's clear that God is doing something about wanting to draw us in to these places where we can call the furnace of affliction. It's scary. It's very scary to think about that. But I feel like what God is saying to us, are we willing to let him and entrust him? Can we be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were put into that furnace of fire, but it says there was a fourth person walking with them? We believe that was probably Jesus walking with them in that fire. Can we trust that whatever God is doing, that he's working deeply in us, and it will be a worthwhile process to say, yes, Lord, I want to go. I'm already probably, the fixing comes whether we want it or not. The question is, can we allow it to refine us instead of turning bitter? Can we also, when bitterness is something that can really mess us up. If when we have these problems and they come, we become hardened, angry, and bitter, it cuts off the flow of God in our lives. It's like taking this flow here that represents the outpouring, the overflow, and it gets twisted. It cuts off the flow of what God wants to do in our life, in our lives, but also in the lives of others. Instead, can we say, God, do whatever you need? Can we recognize whatever bitterness or anger, whatever sin might be in our lives, and say, Lord, let's work it through. Now, this is hard to do alone. It might be a good idea to work this through with somebody else, to go to a brother or a sister. My door's open. Give me a call, send me an email, and say, you'd like to get together. I love talking. I love spending time with people. I'd be very glad. Hear whatever's on your heart. You can go to members of our prayer team, some of our other pastors, to Natalie and women's ministries, to Herb with men's ministries, other people on our leadership teams. Just go to someone. Share what's going on in your life so you don't go through it alone. This is part of the healing process that we want to learn. To say, yes, Lord, I'm willing for you to come and stir up whatever needs to be stirred up. There are things in our lives sometimes that we don't even know about, and there's things that we have shoved aside. Things we've said, no, I'm not going to go there. There's areas we hang on to roots of bitterness, roots of unforgiveness, sometimes even roots of hatred, that we feel I'm justified to feel this way. And God comes and we say, I'm going to allow you to stir me up. Can we allow him to bring up the things that have been pushed down for a long time? Something wonderful happens when we allow God to stir us. It also brings up treasures. It brings life. When the bitterness, the shame, and the unforgiveness is worked through, we begin to sparkle. I hope you can see that in this light here. It brings fruit in our lives. It releases the overflow in our lives when the bitterness is taken away. And we can flow with that love of Jesus to other people. So this is beautiful. This is wonderful. Our God loves us enough. He says, nothing in your life is too much for me. I'm not turned away when I look at you, when I see things in your life that aren't pure. He's just saying, let me stir it up and let's work it out. Let me bring my healing power, release. Let my grace come to help you forgive and release what needs to be forgiven. We can only be used by God when we ourselves have been healed. Philippians again, if we go back to that verse, says, if there's any common sharing of the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Let's focus in on the interests of others. You know, sometimes people come to church and they say, I'm going to get my blessing today. They come and say, well, the worship was good. I felt blessed. They had a good message. And then zoom out that door onto life. Church, instead, is the place where we come to look out for the interests of others. Our goal in being in the church is, yes, I need to be built up, and yes, I want to worship God, I want to give that as a gift, but I am here to be equipped so that I can make a difference in the lives of others. First of all, in our body, this is where we practice. This is where we find healing and life, and then we're better equipped to go out into the world and bring healing and life to others. We look out not just for our own interests here, but also for the interests of our neighbors, of our colleagues, wherever we are. Let's look again at the Revelation passage. I'm just going to focus. It says, the first part, the angel showed me the river of the water of life. This is why I wanted to have this again up front, over illustrating this beautiful flow of the Spirit. It says that as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city, and on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. This is something God wants for us, is to be yielding fruit continually, over and over. And then this last verse, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. I believe this is significant for us today. God wants to heal nations around the world, individuals, people groups, and we have a part in this in our own community, but also as we send, and as we're sending people into mission, as we're involved, as we're praying, as we believe, God, move in this world. Make us agents of healing. Now I want to talk a little bit, just briefly, about application. How do we experience healing in our lives, and how do we learn to work through our brokenness? Sometimes refer to people who are Christian as broken healers. Can we flow into this and say, God, I'm willing to be a broken healer? Someone who's a broken healer, we are people who've been wounded. We've gone through the furnace of affliction, and we have found that there is someone who stays by us in the darkest moments and leads us through. We don't pretend to be perfect. We don't have every hair in place. We may have messed up, fallen, but we've gotten back up again. We're fine with being seen just as we are. We may have been trampled a lot and left for dead, but God has brought us back to life and has lifted us up, and we stand free and unashamed. This is who I am. I have my faults. I'm not a perfect person, but God is healing me. Because what God has done for us, because we know our Savior then, we have a zeal and a compassion to pour out love on others. Today I want to invite you, are you willing to go through the furnace of affliction? Are you willing to be a broken healer? And then let's learn to take that love and pour it out on others. I'm going to ask Derek to come up. One thing we need to do is also learn how to be these healers. We want to be authentic and real, but we want to learn simply to minister the love of God. One thing we do is learn to be good listeners, to ask questions that go a little deeper, not to push a person, make them too uncomfortable, but to say, hey, how are you, brother? How are you doing? If we look at a person and you say, and just say, hey, how are you? That's like saying hello, right? But if we say, hey, Derek, how is it going in your life, really? How's your family? How is your walk with Jesus? How are you doing, brother?
Yeah, it's much different, right? I'm doing well. But I could definitely use some prayer in some certain areas and would be happy to have you do that.
How could I pray for you?
One thing for sure, I've got young kids, and I'm always trying to pray for wisdom or ask God for wisdom on just how to be, you know, just be a better father, be a better parent, be a better husband. You know, how can I have more patience? And I think wisdom is probably the best, okay. The best answer.
Hey, would it be okay if I just pray for you now?
Absolutely.
Lord, we lift up Derek to you. And Lord, I just pray that you would really come close to his heart. I thank you, Lord, he has a desire to be a good, loving husband and father for his children. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come upon him now and give him the strength that he needs. Give him wisdom. Lord, in difficult situations, I pray he can respond with love and gentleness instead of getting caught up in things that can lead to an overflow of even anger sometimes. So, Lord, I pray, bless my brother. Fill him with your peace and your joy. Come into their home, Lord God, and bring your life and your peace, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Derek, thank you for being willing to be a demonstration today. So we have a wonderful prayer team, and they're going to be up here afterwards ready to pray with you if there's something that you'd like to prayer. But we all need to be prayer ministers. We all need to be friends who know how to pray. And it's natural, that it just flows naturally, that we pray for each other and we see the power of God come. We need to learn to be good listeners and not give advice, just listen. Listen and pray. Ask God to increase our empathy, to see the hurt around us, and respond with love and care. In closing, I'd like to read a portion from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. It says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." This is a very powerful verse. We share in the sufferings of Christ. We're willing to go there. We're willing to work through and to go into the furnace of affliction. We're willing to be broken to say, God, break the hard places of my life. And then we stand saying, yes, God, you are my healer. You give me comfort. And now that comfort that you give me, help me, Lord, to comfort others. A simple process. Brokenness, entering the sufferings of Christ, receiving comfort, and comforting others with the love of Christ. This morning, I'd like us to respond by singing a simple song together. If you'd like to turn in the blue hymnal with me, this is number 389, a very common hymn of response, "Take My Life, Lord, and Let It Be." I'd like us to first look at these words together. And as we sing this song, can we offer our lives really? We're using this song as a way to say, yes, God, I'm willing to let you break me. And I want to be broken of all the bitterness, all the sins of my life, everything. I give you everything. But I want you then to take my life and let it be consecrated to you, Lord. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands. Let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet. Let them be swift and beautiful for thee. And take my voice and let me sing. And then lastly, take my love. Lord, take my love. I pour it at your feet as a treasure for me. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. Would you stand with me? We're just going to sing this song. It's 389 again in the hymn book. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands. Take my voice. Let's sing verse 6 together. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At thy feet its treasures store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Ever only all for thee. Lord, we give you ourselves today. We pray, come Holy Spirit, loosen the areas, stir us up, we pray. Bring your healing power and let us flow with your love to those around us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.